Welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing late on Thursday night, Friday morning, East Coast time, because we waited to see Lakers Suns, and the Suns won this one from the start, and the Lakers are done. The champs are out. Denver Nuggets also advanced tonight to talk about all of it. Joining me from Dallas, Texas, where there's a big NBA game tonight, I guess I would say, Friday night, is Band McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
Joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, you guys already know, it's Tim Bontemps.
Boom. Hello, guys.
So,
what an inspirational comeback attempt by the Lakers. Boy, I tell you what, man. Those scrappy little underdogs.
The thing was, they actually were trying hard in a comeback attempt, and they really – I guess they were down by 30 and they got it down to 10 at one point. So I guess it was, you know, they made up some ground, but they basically never seriously threatened the Suns. And that's kind of what happened in this series after Anthony Davis got hurt. They never seriously threatened the Suns. And, I am not a betting man, and certainly you could not have predicted that Anthony Davis would get hurt. But at the start of the series, when I saw that the Phoenix Suns were 3-1 underdogs, they were plus 300. I thought it was one of the most incredible betting opportunities I'd seen in a long time, a 2 seed with that. And you know, they showed certainly tonight in Devin Booker, Bontemps, why they were the better team. And I don't know if this game really doesn't matter. Anthony Davis obviously shouldn't have played. I'm kind of surprised that the team doctors even allowed him to do it, and he lasted a few minutes, and I guess he gets points, but I think it was probably an unnecessary risk, and I'm not sure this game matters. I think the real issue is that the Lakers, after being champs last year and retrofitting their roster, didn't get it done this year, Bontemps.
No, they did not. And this begins, you know, look, people are going to say Anthony Davis is hurt. And obviously, I think we all wish that we'd seen the Lakers at full strength in the series. But the other team that won tonight, the Denver Nuggets, beat the Portland Trailblazers without their starting point guard, their starting shooting guard, and their backup guard. And were, you know, playing playoff games with Austin Rivers guarding Damian Lillard and Facundo Campazzo guarding Damian Lillard, right? So the whole point of having a team is you have the rest of the team capable to step in when guys get hurt. And obviously you can't replace Anthony Davis, but go back to the offseason. We said in the offseason, signing Montrezl Harrell, a regular season player, to play on a team trying to win a championship was a mistake. Montrezl Harrell was a non-factor in the series and was not helpful for the Lakers.
He didn't play. Right.
He played tonight. Played 8 minutes. They got outscored by 16 points with him on the floor.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't play. Just like we saw last year in the playoffs, right? That was a mistake signing from day one. The Dennis Schroeder trade was a mistake from day one.
Dennis Schroeder, national poster boy for getting your vaccination shots.
Well, listen, set all that aside. The explanation for the Dennis Schroeder trade from the beginning was what? We don't want LeBron James to have to handle the ball throughout the season. Okay, that's fine. You trade a guy who's a 3-and-D guy who shot 40% this year for the Sixers, Danny Green, played great, would have been a perfect fit in the playoffs. For a guy in Dennis Schroeder who, yeah, he's going to have the ball in these regular season games. Then you get in the playoffs, and he's going to be playing next to LeBron James, who's going to have the ball all the time. That never made any sense. On top of that, you get to the trade
Schroeder
deadline.
Well, Schroeder had the ball a lot. He just didn't do a very good job.
Well, very good job, but he was not a guy who's going to be very effective off the ball. And that was where he's going to have to play in these games. That gets to the trade deadline, when the Lakers could have gone and got Kyle Lowry.
Well, now this is a real conversation, because the rest of this is I don't know.
Well, listen. They could have signed Justin Holiday, for example, for the mid-level exception. Think Justin Holiday would have helped in this game? Think he would have played more than 8 minutes? I think he would have. We'll skip past that. The trade deadline, Kyle Lowry, all-star level point guard, is available at the deadline. And the Lakers, whether it was because they didn't want to trade Talen Horton-Tucker, or they didn't want to trade a 2027 or 28 first-round pick, or they didn't want to trade both, didn't trade for Kyle Lowry. And if you watch this series and you think the Lakers couldn't use Kyle Lowry, I don't know what you were watching. And if you got LeBron James at 36 years old, you have to be trying to win every year.
Dude, people understandably, got Andre Drummond. What more do you want him to do?
Well, listen, and again, another DNP there for that guy who is going to ruin the league because the buyout rules are so restrictive and only the big markets get these players. But listen, seriously, though, if you look at this, if you look at this here, Kyle Lowry was a perfect fit to play with LeBron and play on this team. And the Lakers would have been able to re-sign him with bird rights. And going forward, you'd have him and LeBron and Anthony Davis for the next couple of years. Think that team is capable of winning the title? I certainly think so. And instead, the Lakers don't make that trade because they're, like I said, either for a pick 8 years out in the future or because of Talen Horton Tucker, who's an interesting young player, but is a guy who was a bit player in the series. And listen, back in 2018, people pilloried the Cavs for making a future-facing move by trading Kyrie Irving and getting a future first-round pick. And I'm not trying to compare these trades. I'm not trying to say the Cavs did the right thing. But LeBron James is signed for years into the future. He is on your team. You're the Los Angeles Lakers. You're worrying about stuff 8 years from now instead of trying to win a championship this year. I didn't understand that at the time. And I think when you watch this series, like, this team was just not built well to play in the playoffs. And the result was they lost this series. And people will say, oh, the Lakers just didn't have Anthony Davis and that's why they lost and they would have won if they had him. And maybe that's true, but I think this team was fundamentally flawed from the beginning, and those flaws showed up throughout this series.
Well, whether that's true or not, like, listen, you don't get to have an injury excuse when the other team, Chris Paul, it wasn't CP3, it was CP one arm. Chris Paul beat you with one arm, okay? So, look, yep. The Suns had serious injury problems too. And, you know, it's like you don't get to cry about Devin Booker dunking in the last minute, man. when you're taunting in what was it? Was that the last one that the Lakers had this season? Like, you want to taunt late in the game? Devin Booker gets dunk late in the game and smile at you.
Well, so, when you have 47 points in a closeout game on the road,
you get to do what you want.
I guess you to the victor goes.
Yeah, and look, if Frank Kaminsky wanted to mimic the dunk on the bench like Andre Drummond doing LeBron's post up moves, go for it, Frank. I don't know if he can jump high enough to do that, but still.
Well, okay. So the reason that the Lakers are now out of the playoffs is because of injuries, not just in this series, but during the regular season, because LeBron was having an MVP caliber year. The terrible, situation that happens. Solomon Hill, in my mind, it was just a basketball accident. Not everybody believes that, but whatever. Falls on his leg. And that moment, the Lakers season changed, just like the 76ers season might have changed when Embiid fell the other night. And that's the nature of the game. I did the jump this week with Robert Horry, and he was talking about how on some of I might have already told this on the pod, so I apologize if I did. But on his team, on his Laker teams, his guys just like never got hurt. The three-peat that he was on the Lakers for, during the playoffs, Kobe twisted his ankle and Fisher missed two games. There was just never any injuries. So LeBron gets hurt, AD gets hurt, and as a result, instead of being a top three seed or four seed, probably, even top two maybe, the way they were playing, now they're a seven seed. And so they end up having to play the Suns in the first round, who are a good team. And they, after looking a little shaky after they fell down 2-1, even despite the injury, DeAndre Ayton played great in the series. Booker was awesome in games 5 and 6, just flat out awesome in games 5 and 6. Mikal Bridges was terrific in this in stretches in the series. They have a very good team. Cameron Payne had a very good series. So you end up playing the number two seed.
You just threw that in just to try to jab me. I mean, stop that. Go on.
Anyway,
Cameron Payne. Do you want me to read his stat line tonight? Stop it.
Cameron Payne had a good series. What are you talking about?
Cameron Payne
or Dennis Schroeder? How about that? Let's think about that until we move on. So the reason the Lakers are in this position is because of injuries. All right. Let's be clear. And then Schroeder, like McMahon said, got COVID, and he is protective of his personal health situation, which he certainly has the right to be. But he was not the same player after he got sick. And I'm sorry about that. It's unfortunate. It's not his fault necessarily. But, he made his decision.
There are ways at this stage of 2021 to avoid getting COVID. Just saying.
I'm going to tell you something else. The Lakers offered him an extension in February, and he did not sign it. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So I just want to be clear. The reason the Lakers are home is because of those injuries.
No, the reason the Lakers were seven seed is because of those injuries. But listen, Here's the deal, though. Would the Lakers still have to beat the Suns
to get where they wanted to go, Brian?
Or would they? Do the Lakers beat the Nuggets in a series? I don't know that I'm confident of that after what I just watched. Do they beat the Clippers? I mean, I'm not sure. The Mavericks? I don't know.
One thing I will say, the last four teams in the bubble last year, Miami, Boston, L.A., Denver, it was a rough go for them this year for various reasons. Three of them are home now. And
and the runaway MVP continues.
I also don't like that argument for many reasons either, but that's not something we really need to get into.
Well, you know, I talked to Michael Malone about it, and he thought it made it, you know, he and Brad Stevens apparently talked about it all year long and felt it was a factor all year long. But you're right.
Sure.
We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the Lakers. And
right.
So that's why they're, in my view, that's why they're home. But Bontemps, you are right. Rob Pelinka, after having a very good 2019-20 year, he did not have a good 2020-21.
Look, they would have had to beat the Suns anyway. If they lose the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, or they lose the Suns in the first round, it doesn't change the fact that this is a team that is supposed to be competing for a title, and they lost in the playoffs. So, they wouldn't have been a 7 seed. But, again, they had some bad luck with injuries. Like, if Jamal Murray was healthy, the Nuggets might have won the title this year. You know, like, you can do this with injuries with all these different teams. The bottom line is, they lost this series, and I think, again, I think it's too reductive to say that Anthony Davis got hurt, so they lost. This team was badly flawed all year. We talked all year about how their three-point shooting was a problem. And going back to the bubble, everybody shot way above water all across the league in the bubble. And that helped the Lakers win the title last year, including Anthony Davis, who shot like 42% on threes, I think, in the playoffs. And that team couldn't shoot the ball well last year, and they didn't fix that in the offseason or during the season. And it came back to bite them in the series when they had huge stretches where they couldn't score.
Gasol was going to help them more than he did.
Whenever Gasol was on the court, they were better. The problem was he didn't play very much because they were playing Andre Drummond. They were playing Montrezl Harrell, two guys that aren't effective in the playoffs anyway.
That's the thing. So on the Drummond thing, it wasn't like they had a choice of 7 players. And they chose Drummond.
Andre Drummond doesn't matter. They signed him for a buyout. Like, that's fine. Whatever. The issue is back in the offseason when they used their one exception to sign a player who's a regular season player when you have LeBron James on your team.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
The LA Clippers, who have their own challenges, but the LA Clippers took 2 years of Montrezl Harrell under that leadership group and were like, you know what? We're not even going to offer him a contract. And, Montrez is very upset about it, but they had their reasons for doing it. The Lakers hopped on it. And
we saw their reasons for doing it in this series.
Well, we saw the reasons for doing it last year in the playoffs when they couldn't play him. But
if you're trying to make the playoffs, Montrezl Harrell's a good guy to have on your team. If you're trying to win a title, he's not. It's just the way it is.
That's the best. I guess that's the best way to put it. So the thing for the Lakers, now is so Schroeder got offered a pretty – I don't know the exact amount he was offered guaranteed, but he got offered a pretty significant extension that he turned down in February and March when he became eligible to extend. And the thing about that is I'm sure all Laker fans are like, good riddance. And,
not so fast.
Yeah, be careful there.
I think they're going to have to seriously consider re-signing him.
Because if he leaves, then what? You don't get that money to pay somebody else.
The Lakers with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Kyle Kuzma are at the salary cap. So if you're a Laker fan and you want the Lakers to be able to make moves in the future, the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they have players under contract to trade. So yeah, I'm sure Laker fans, I have a Laker friend who was texting me during the game, was furious about Schroeder. And I said, listen, man, if you want your team to be as good as it can be in the future, you got to re-sign Dennis Schroeder.
Okay, first of all, I doubt you have a friend. So like,
I have a couple.
Tell us something we believe.
They have to try to re-sign him just to, like McMahon said, to have that salary slot to use in other trades down the road to get other players, even if you don't like Schroeder. And that's part of the reason, again, to go back to the Kyle Lowry trade. That's what makes the Kyle Lowry trade or non-trade to me so crazy. And it was what I thought at the time. If you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis, you should be trying to maximize your window today to win. And to not do that for future assets, I just thought was crazy. And this is a perfect example. Now you're going to have to re-sign Dennis Schroeder when I'd rather just paid Kyle Lowry the next 2 years and had him for this playoff run. You probably would have been way better off, but they didn't choose to do that. And now here we are.
Well, they had an offer in and Toronto just passed on it. I mean,
well, they could have improved their offer.
Well, the other argument, man, look, it obviously it doesn't look good for the Lakers. That, you know, Toronto might should have just taken what was on the table, the best deal on the table.
And I mean, listen,
we've been through that.
No, listen, that's a different argument, though, right? Like, you got to get Toronto to say yes to your deal in that position. I'm just saying, if I'm the Lakers, to me, worrying about things 7-8 years down the road is not the way to operate when you have LeBron James at 36 on your team. That's just not what I would have done personally. We talked about it that day on the pod. I stand by it now. This team just wasn't built. This team was making moves to win games in the regular season when they're trying to win playoff games. That was what they said back in November. We wanted to take the load off LeBron in the regular season. I just didn't understand it then. And it hurt him in the playoffs.
And so Harrell has a player option for the $9 million or whatever it is, I think.
It's going to be an interesting decision.
Yeah.
Take that bad boy.
Yeah. So then you have Horton Tucker that you're going to have to resign, and you're going to have competition for that. They have matching rights, but somebody could put a little pressure on him.
And he is an interesting player for the future. Like, I'm not trying to say he played well today.
The last two games, he actually played pretty well. He didn't play any game in the series. I could have argued that he should have played more. But the thing is, LeBron also was just flat out not at his best. And so my thing is, and I want to talk about the Suns here in a minute, but my thing is, let's say that Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, and let's say the Lakers get through this series. That's not a championship team right now. And if LeBron had, his numbers look good. You know, tonight, for example, he had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That looks good, but LeBron was not himself.
He wasn't peak LeBron, but you know what? I will say this. I still thought the Lakers were going to come out of the West just because
James. They're not as good as these Eastern Conference teams.
No, I would not. Like the Nets are the favorites to win the championship. Now we'll see if they can get through Milwaukee. They're going to have their hands full there. But the collection of talent the Nets have is just ridiculous. And, they haven't played much together. No, but when they have played together, they've played really, really well.
Yeah. So the Lakers are they've got some work to do, and I don't exactly know how they're gonna figure it out. But I will say this: that LeBron looked like he was an MVP until he got hurt, and I'm sure that leg is not right. And they're giving their post game interviews right now, and we're doing this podcast, not listening to them. So I don't know what LeBron's gonna say about his ankle, but.
Anybody who watched him, to your point, he didn't look the same.
Well, and also LeBron can't say anything really because everybody always says that LeBron, when he loses, finds something to blame. And at times that has been true and at times it hasn't been true. But so if I know he's going to be 36 going on 37, but if LeBron can come back at that level with a now going to be a long offseason for him.
Nice long offseason.
They're going to have a chance, but Rob Pelinka's got to have a better year. All right, let me close the books on the Lakers, and I want to talk briefly about the Suns.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, hoodie teenagers, Barrel Sinking Raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Devin Booker obviously isn't going to play like this every night. It was one of the best games of his NBA career tonight. Considering the stakes, you could argue it was the best game of his career. I know he's
easily the best.
Yeah,
easily the best.
I mean, this was more impressive than 70 points in a blowout loss in Boston. I'm sorry, exactly. This was more impressive.
Exactly. How many threes did he hit in the first quarter?
Six.
I mean, he just absolutely took them out of the game.
They won the game. They won the game in the first quarter. He took the game over. No, it was a dominant performance by him.
I mean, this is what the, you know, this is going to sound corny, but this is what the dreams are made out of. When you give a guy a max contract, this is what the dreams are made of.
That was a max player performance.
Oh, you can say that.
Superstar performance.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. On the road against the Lakers, against LeBron, like all the stuff we said about the Lakers and LeBron, it's still playing the Lakers and LeBron on the road in a closeout game. And he came out and just put the hammer down from the beginning. It was incredible performance.
And by the way, how many young superstar performances have we seen in these playoffs? I think the league's in pretty good shape for a while with all these 24, 23, 22, 21-year-old guys just lighting up the playoffs.
We'll Trae Young, John Morant, Jason Tatum, et cetera. A lot of fun players.
Same building, back-to-back nights, Doncic and Booker putting up those two performances.
Yeah.
Luka. Luka, not bad either.
Holy Moses.
Porzingis. I'm sorry. Go on. Boy, did you see that corner three, baby?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I want to talk about the Suns for a second. DeAndre Ayton didn't play that much or well tonight. He played 30 minutes tonight, but he wasn't that involved tonight because the Lakers went small and it was hard for him at times. They were just trying anything to get the lane open because they were just sitting in the lane because they didn't respect the Lakers' outside shooting. DeAndre Ayton had a huge, huge, huge series. He came into this game averaging 17 and 12 in the series. And he only had, what do you have tonight? 8 and 3. So that's going to bring the stats
the numbers
down a little
bit. Those stats don't reflect the way he played. He was fantastic in the series.
He's become a winning piece this year. He deserves credit. Again, looking at the numbers, you don't see improvement. If you watch DeAndre Ayton, he's become a winning piece. He's become a really good defensive anchor. He's become a great complementary offensive player. The guy sets tough screens. He rolls hard. Like DeAndre Ayton is a dude that you can build around as a complementary star with Devin Booker.
He was going toe-to-toe with Davis earlier in the series. Like he was the reason they won game one. He was awesome in that game. I mean, he was great. He was awesome in the series.
Do you know what he shot in this series?
I would guess over 80%.
I'm going to tell you is he shot 3 of 4 tonight, so that's 75%, and it dropped It dropped his percentage.
Yeah.
It dropped his percentage from 80 to 79.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He was just using his body and being physical. And like McBain said, you know, even a year ago, you wouldn't have guessed that DeAndre Ayton had been able to play like this. I mean, his improvement has been fantastic. And this Suns team, they've been really good all season. Monty Williams deserves a ton of credit. These young guys, Mikal Bridges, we haven't even talked about him. He's a fantastic young player,
yeah,
too. I mean,
really good.
They're really good. And like, look,
Cam Johnson's look, they got killed for the Cam Johnson pick.
That's right.
He's a nice player. First-round pick is, he looked good in his sweatpants.
Listen, 2 weeks ago, previewing the series, we talked about the opportunity that was there for Chris Paul. And I know he was a little banged up, obviously, with the stinger in his arm. But the biggest stretch of this game for all the plays Devin Booker made, Lakers get to 10. Chris gets in the lane, shakes LeBron, makes a jumper, hits Cam Johnson for a three, hits a mid-range jumper, 7-0 run by himself, puts the game back to 17 points. Suns go on to win the game. And now Chris Paul's got a chance. They're going to be favored in the conference semis.
They're
going to have a live shot in the conference finals. He's got a shot to get to the NBA finals for the first time in his career.
You know, that's
pretty
the thing.
Huge now, moment.
Just, you know, and going back to Ayton, so now he's drawn the MVP. So...
Yeah.
Who is just, he hit some shots tonight that were just, He had a three-pointer tonight that was, you know, I know JaVale McGee is guilty of overacting on the bench, but JaVale fell to the floor and he hit this three over Nurkic tonight.
Beat Dame and CJ with a bunch of with third string guards. I mean, it was just an incredible performance.
Not third string with a 10-day guard.
Yes.
I mean, Austin Rivers was unemployed.
Yeah, Austin hit a giant three tonight in this win.
Hit the clincher.
Yeah.
He hit a bunch of big threes.
He played well.
Obviously not as many as Damian Lillard, but still.
Oh, yeah, Dame, well. I think was 0 of 8 in the fourth quarter tonight. He was just gassed.
Yeah, he ran out of gas.
How many times are we gonna see it? I know that he has articulated.
I don't know how many times we'll see it. I don't know how many times more.
I mean, he has articulated time after time after time, I'm not going anywhere. I know that he has said it over and over and over. But the big
offseason ahead in Portland. I mean, Dame himself said after the game, you know, it's not good enough when you lose in the first round to a team without two or three of their best players. So, that sums it up.
And as decimated as Denver's backcourt is, Monty Morris outplayed CJ McCollum for most.
Yeah. CJ was bad in this series.
Yeah. So, all right. I want to talk. So Denver moves. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what much to say about that game. We're going to be talking about Dame Lillard a lot this summer, I think.
Yeah.
I do not think the status quo will hold in Portland. I think we're going to see a coaching change there. There's a decent chance of that. I don't know how much personnel changes we're going to see. They really spent a lot of assets and money on their roster last year. And Covington played his butt off in this series, but he was not able to be a difference maker in their overall defense. So
no, Yusuf Nurkic was grumbling after the game. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Nurkic is
up for a contract extension. He wants a contract extension. He changed agents to position himself for a contract extension. And I don't know how that conversation is going to go. And I don't know what Melo does. there's a lot of question marks.
A lot of
there.
Questions.
No, obviously Terry Stotts is, you know, likely heading for the exits.
Yeah, I think everybody pretty much expects that to happen, including Terry. So we'll see how long it goes. Although no coach has been fired. The only coaching change we've had since the end of the season has been Brad Stevens. I want to talk about what I witnessed last night, McMahon.
You were in the house, huh?
I didn't actually go to the game. I was at the Mavericks. It wasn't an after party, but some of the Mavericks adjourned to the hotel bar to enjoy their victory. Well, nothing crazy. Nothing was going on.
That's better than Kristaps' last
LA
excursion.
I don't want to talk outside of school because I don't think I should be talking about guys when they're outside of the thing, but Porzingis was in the bar, which is allowed. You are allowed to be in the hotel bar. He was following all the rules. I don't know where he was, you know, after I left, but
listen, Kristaps is—he's really gotten familiar with those health and safety protocols.
He was not in the anything, but Luka's performance. I think I referenced it on the pod. I said Luka could play better, and that's the kind of game. I mean, he's obviously not going to do that a lot, but that's the kind of game that a star like that has in him.
I don't even know if it was his best game of the series. His best game of the series might have actually been a loss. 44-9-9. And it's funny, after that game, Luka, I thought it was actually pretty artfully handled by him. Critical of himself, complimentary of everybody else, shouting out Dorian Finney-Smith for the defense, the energy. Same thing with Dwight Powell. Making sure to mention Hardaway, Porzingis, who obviously there's, you know, not necessarily the smoothest dynamic there. Making sure to mention those guys hit huge threes late. And then he's just killing himself. He ran out of gas. You know, he wasn't great in the fourth quarter, but geez, dude had 42, 8, and 14. He accounted for like 80, almost 84% of their field goals. So that made 17, assisted on 14.
That three-pointer he set up Porzingis for that clinched the game, he reminded me of Peyton Manning on that play. Because it was almost like Peyton Manning waiting at the line for the safety to take like one step up, and then he killed him.
Oh, by the way, if we're going to mention crazy passes, a couple games ago, the pass that Jokic made where Gordon cuts, he lofts it over Covington. Covington falls down right to Porter in the corner. I mean,
that was pretty special.
I refer to it as basketball pornographic on Twitter, and people didn't understand. But if that doesn't, you know, get you real happy, I don't know. You don't like this game.
So it was just a surgical performance by Luka. And look, he outplayed Kawhi in that game. Kawhi has been very good in this series.
This was Kawhi's first dud, and it's all relative. 20 points on 19 shots.
Right.
That's a dud by Kawhi's standard. The Boban thing, Boban was -9, so you can't say, wow, what a massive success. But the Mavs junking the game up, mixing in so much zone, it disrupted Kawhi's Leonard, because the previous three games, two of which the Clippers won, you know, one Luka just Luka'd them. But the previous three games, Kawhi just got wherever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and it was just a steady buffet at the rim. And, you know, that was disrupted in this game.
Yeah. So, Ty Lue went, he did some coaching and went small. And then Rick Carlisle maneuvered back and went super duper big. I think I saw you write that it was the biggest lineup in was it playoff history or NBA?
No, it was the second biggest in playoff history, behind only a 2003 Nelly Classic, where it was Sean Bradley, Rafe LaFrentz, Dirk at the three, Michael Finley, and Steve Nash. That is Nelly Classic,
and then
2003.
And then 7 years later, we believe he's, you know.
Yeah.
He's playing a bunch of 6'5 guys. So they go really big and go zone, and the Boban, Porzingis,
The zone does a couple things. One, it eliminates the open season at the rim for Kawhi and Paul George. You know, it kind of shuts that down a little bit. Two, it gives Luka and Porzingis kind of a place to hide defensively. Like, they're not having to play man-to-man. Porzingis especially. Porzingis playing man-to-man on the perimeter was just, I mean, it's just not, like, realistic. It's just not fair, not right. No. But if he can play zone, look, he's not always going to be perfect, but it at least gives him a shot.
So, but my point is, so Kawhi got outplayed. So that happens. He's playing against a potential all-time great in Luka. Mm-hmm. He looks like he has a good chance to be an all-time great. By the way, that game that he played where he scored and assisted on everything, it reminded me of early LeBron games, early in his career, where he did everything. But LeBron can't shoot like that.
Yeah, Luka can't jump like early LeBron either.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair.
But that is, in terms of body, brain, just body in terms of sheer size.
Yeah, 6'8".
Brain, and just like, this is the dude running the show in complete control. You know, LeBron is probably the closest comp, but, you know, Luka is definitely a better shooter, and obviously LeBron's just a complete freak of an athlete, especially when he was 21, 22.
Yeah, so, so it happens. You know, even your Hall of Fame guy, Kawhi, can get outplayed. The reason it's so hurtful is because of their performance in games 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And that...
And the Mavs shooting performances. The Mavs just had
I agree, but the Clippers had something to do with that. There was a lot of open looks, especially in game two. I thought their approach defensively was not acceptable.
Yeah, and you know what killed the Clippers in this one was when Paul George got in foul trouble, the Mavericks went on a run and dominated the third quarter. So, yeah.
Montemps, can the Clippers win two in a row against Luka Doncic at this point? I don't know if they can.
Well, they can, but I mean, look, these are the best games when you have a game six where the favorite team is on the road and on the ropes. that these are the games that determine like what you've got as a team, right? Like probably
for the Miami Heat in 2012.
And I know they didn't win the title, but it also did for the Warriors in 2016 in Oklahoma City in one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever been in when Klay Thompson yeah. goes crazy in the fourth quarter and wins that game. Like these are the games when you see like that LeBron game when you or the Klay game. These are the games where you see what a team has. And you know, look, when we talked about this last week after the first couple games, Luka Doncic is good enough to be the best player on the court in any game against any team. And so he might be good enough to not only win this series, but maybe win the next couple. So yeah, he might be able to beat these guys. But let's see what Kawhi Leonard has. Let's see what Paul George has. Let's see what the Clippers have. Their backs are against the wall. They've obviously gotten back in the series a bit after the start and after where we were a week ago. But, you know, they're still going on the road where with their season on the line and with all the pressure on them, let's see how they perform. And let's see if Luka can, you know, rise to the moment. Cause I mean, this is a big moment for him too. I mean, we saw what Devin Booker did. I mean, I know it's home and on the road, but Devin Booker comes out in a closeout game. He has a monster game. He carries his team to a win. You know, Luka's more than capable of doing the same thing. And I'm going to be sitting here ready to watch it 9 o'clock tomorrow to see what it looks like. I think it's going to be a fascinating game.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Dallas, are they hot right now, McMahon? Or is this just like they're playing like their best basketball at the right time? Or
the first two games, they were hot. Last night, I think they were just able to junk. Like, look, it wasn't like it was a beautiful performance. Luka carried the load. Nobody else played well offensively. Hardaway had 20, but he was 6 of 19. Now,
to your point, McMahon,
he hit a huge three.
Rick Carlisle, right? Rick Carlisle won that game with Luka because Luka was great, and Rick Carlisle found a way to slow down Kawhi and try different stuff, and like that's. You know, Rick's one of the best coaches in the league. He's been in a billion playoff games, right? Like this is that, you know, that's what you do. Like you're going to have a couple games where you shoot hot and you're going to have a game where Luka goes crazy and you're going to have a game where you throw the other team off their rhythm. So,
yeah. So the first two games, the Mavericks outscored them. Like the Clippers scored a bunch of points, right? And were efficient offensively, blah, blah, blah. The Mavericks just had Luka was just not just superstar, otherworldly. Hardaway was red hot. Like the Mavericks as a team were just sizzling. Ty Lue made his adjustment. Now it took 2 minutes into game three, but he made his adjustment, played small. The Mavericks could not handle that for two games. Rick made his adjustment, played massive, junked the game up. This is the first time the Mavericks won when they didn't just light it up. You know, they won this game kind of ugly despite Luka being ridiculous. And so we'll see what Ty Lue and the Clippers, you know, what's their counter. That's what we're going to see in game six.
Well, we're definitely going to be keeping a very close eye on that one. That what I walked away from that game last night saying was maybe the Mavericks just are the better team. And that's a scary thing to.
True, but you also walked away from game two saying that. Then the Clippers won two in Dallas.
I know, but the nature of the game was different. So. We'll see. Before we go, I think we've got the series that we're all looking forward to. I know Bontemps is for sure. Starts Saturday night, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. I have probably hyperbole and probably will be made fun of for it, but I have dubbed this series as a referendum on the future of the NBA, the short-term future of the NBA.
Oh boy.
I'm not sure you're wrong.
I love referendums.
Well, what I'm just saying is I went back and with some help of some people at the Jump, I went back and looked at some Showtime Laker stats. Because when I was doing some research on this NBA season, this was the craziest offensive season we've had since a bunch of years in the mid-80s. From about 83 to 88 was peak offense in NBA history pretty much in the modern era. And that was the Showtime Laker era. They didn't win every title in the 80s, but they won a lot of them. How many did they win? Four?
They won five, correct?
Five in the 80s.
Celtics won three?
Yeah, that's right. So I went back and looked, and, the Lakers in that 7 or 8 year run, the Magic, early part of his career, they were number one or number two in offense every single year. Mm-hmm. And some of the, for a long time, those teams had the best offense of all time. They've been knocked down by this year's incredible octane. But they were also in the top 10 in defense most of those years, or a lot of those years, 7th, 8th, 9th, 11th. They were up there a lot. This Nets team, as we've talked about for months on end, is not that way. They are absolutely saying, we are going to run and gun, and we are going to outshoot you, and we have more firepower and more personnel, and there's nothing you can do about it. We're putting up 145, and we don't care if you get 142. And we're going to try to do it 4 out of 7. And the Milwaukee Bucks have spent enormous resources, both in money and in draft capital and other assets, to build a team that is defensively versatile and built to stop a team, or not stop, but certainly somewhat control a team like the Nets. And if the Nets
also spent resources in terms of time and experimental, thought processes and all that stuff this regular season to be able to be more versatile.
100% right. And so if the Nets pull this off and do this, I see no reason why other teams in the league will not be able to match their personnel, but I see no reason why other teams in the league won't try to do the same thing, because that's the way the league is going. And that's what I mean, a referendum on where the league is at this point, Bontemps.
This is the NBA Finals. Whoever wins this series is going to win the championship.
Oh, wow. Barring injury. Here we go. Relax.
No, I mean, barring injury, these are the two best teams in the league by a significant amount, in my opinion. I think they're...
Well, certainly since Embiid got hurt. I don't know what he's going to look like in 2 weeks, but...
I just think these teams are head and shoulders above the rest, and I think this is going to be an absolutely titanic series. And you're right, Brian. Like, listen, I've said the same thing all year about the Nets. I'm going to trust all of NBA history that you have to at least care somewhat on defense to win a championship. And if the Nets win this series, if their guys can stay healthy, which, listen, that's a big if with this Nets team. There's a reason their guys played, I think, 7 regular season games together, right? They took turns missing time with injuries. So I certainly hope everybody stays healthy. But if they stay healthy and they get by Milwaukee, they should beat everybody else and probably fairly handily. So, to me, this is the finals. And I just think I think even more than their defense, I think it's going to come down to the battle inside, and specifically with Brook Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo going up against the absolutely softest part of Brooklyn's defense, which is their defense at the rim. And
finish up.
All I was going to say was, if you watched, for anybody who had the misfortune of having to watch this Celtics Nets series, which was a 5-game slog, Tristan Thompson, who was not very good, was still able to throw guys around inside and get a bunch of rebounds and cause problems. And he is 10 times, he is nowhere near the player that either Giannis or Brook are. And I think, if they can control the boards and dominate inside, I think Milwaukee can win the series and get by the Nets. But I'm incredibly excited to watch this. I think it's going to be great.
Just the whole thing of this is the NBA Finals. I just want to point out, these are the 2 and 3 seeds in the East, number one. Yep. Now Embiid's hurt. I get it.
Yep.
You still have the two teams that had the best records in the NBA alive. Yeah, and
by the way, nobody was paying attention really, but the Jazz really started getting going this last 7-8
Jazz. The Jazz played great in that Memphis series, and I think that people are gonna, you know, people are gonna remember that first game when Donovan Mitchell didn't play and Memphis shot great, and the Jazz missed a billion threes and lost, and they're not gonna look at the rest of the series. I think Utah's really good, but I say it's a de facto NBA Finals because I think I'm picking whoever wins this series to win the title. I may well be wrong.
If you want to say whoever wins is the favorite, okay. But I'm just saying. For me personally. Let's play the rest.
I just think whoever wins the series, if they stay healthy, will win the title. That's why I say that.
I am concerned, by the way, if I'm a Jazz fan, very concerned about Mike Conley with this MRI revealing a mild hamstring strain. In the same hamstring that caused him to miss 9 games with tightness late in the season.
Yeah, not good.
That's concerning. By the way, what if Kyrie steps on the Bucks logo the same way that he did Lucky in Boston? What happens then? You know the answer?
Nothing.
No idea.
That's really
we
terrible.
All saw that joke. And
I actually didn't see it, and it's really terrible.
Most underrated tweet of my lifetime. Come on. That was the best tweet I've ever had.
That's very terrible. But yeah, listen, I am just super excited about this series. There's a ton of fascinating matchups. Who does Drew Holiday guard? What are the Nets going to try to stop? I'll be curious to see that too. I mean, Brooke Lopez the past couple months has been back to being like Brooklyn Nets, Brooke Lopez, and playing in the paint all the time. I think in preparation for this series, DeAndre Jordan has not played since the last time these two teams played a month ago today. Mm-hmm. And they played basically exclusively small against Boston, and they have for the past month. So I think they're going to try to play small and lean into this thing. And remember, Milwaukee, you know, people were questioning whether the Bucks should have played the Heat in the first round, if they should have ducked them. And they went out and demolished them in 4 games. So,
and Miami could not score, and Miami had been, you know, hot in the last month of the season offensively.
Giannis, from the beginning of that series, guarded Jimmy Butler and shut him down. Jimmy Butler was not good.
Durant's a little different channel.
To be clear, I'm 100% not saying that that's going to happen at all. You know, I just think about from a Durant, mindset like, standpoint, it's great.
If you could pick a guy to defend Durant, it would be a guy like Giannis because of his length. But even as long as Giannis is and athletically gifted as he is, I think Durant is impervious to having his shot affected.
Nobody in the league can guard Kevin Durant.
As great as Butler is, like, listen, you can go under screens with Jimmy Butler, and hey, if you want to shoot long jumpers, long twos,
Giannis is
threes,
also like
please.
7 inches taller than him too. Yeah, he's got a big size advantage.
You go under threes with Kevin Durant, he's going to go, you know, 8 of 12 from 3-point range.
Yeah.
So the one thing I'll say about Milwaukee is that, and this is, you know, true of Utah too, I think, is they can put up 140 on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they can do it with the Nets every night. I don't think they can go into 7 shootouts and hope to outscore them 4 times. But they also have the firepower to match them a few times in a series. And that factor, in addition to their level of defense, even though I agree that the Nets are the favorite, because Milwaukee has, you know, they can put up numbers, I think that gives them a fighting chance in this sucker.
I think the Bucks are going to win the series. I think the Bucks are going to win the series. Now, listen, I think, to Brian's point, they're one of the few teams that can keep up with Brooklyn. They also guard really, really well. Drew Holiday is arguably the single best guy you could have to guard either Kyrie or James Harden. It will be very interesting to see which one of those guys he guards. I personally would put him on Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie's going to isolate, and I think Drew Holiday can put the clamps on him if anybody can. But that's going to be interesting. But I think
James Harden's going to isolate too. That's one of the reasons why.
James Harden is more like Kyrie's isolating to score, where James Harden is like running plays for other people. I just think that I personally would go with Drew on Kyrie. But anyway, I think the Bucks are about as well built to match up with this Nets team as you can. And again, I really think that ultimately the Giannis Brook Lopez combination inside just has a chance to absolutely demolish the Nets in the paint. And yeah. I think if the Bucks win this series, I think it's because of that. And they play volleyball in the paint, and Brook dominates inside, and Giannis gets where he wants, and they're able to control the glass and control the paint and win the series that way. Now, I think it's going to be really close, and I think that the Nets easily could win. They're an awesome team. And in a lot of ways, this Bucks team sort of reminds me of the 2016 Oklahoma City Thunder, in that that team was built to be physically imposing and kind of impose its will on teams in games. And it nearly was enough to beat the Warriors. And I sort of feel like this is a similar stylistic matchup where the Nets are going to, like you said, Brian, they're trying to score 135 a game. And if the Bucks win the series, which I think they can, and I'm going to pick them to, I think it's because they can kind of impose their physicality on the series and really bash the Nets around. So, but I'm just so excited for it. I think it's going to be awesome. There's so many interesting matchups. There's a lot on the line, legacy wise.
Well, it's
on both
gonna
sides.
Be, you know, let's just yeah, it's going to potentially just be amazing to watch.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing to watch because we're going to see these three guys just filling it up like crazy. And we're going to see the Bucks swinging back hard because losing Dante DiVincenzo is going to hurt, but the Bucks got a lot of weapons. And
well, you know, who's sneaky going to hurt if he's not able to play in the series or is not going to be able to play much is Jeff Green, which I know people might laugh about.
I don't think he's
going to
play. I don't think he's going to play.
That's a big loss for the Nets. He's a really important piece for them especially when they play small, because he can space the floor and shoot. He's been really good for them. Now he's got a plantar fascia strain. We'll see if he can come back. That's a big piece for Brooklyn.
I'd be surprised if he can come back. The other thing is Bryn Forbes was like unconscious shooting the ball against the Heat. I mean, maybe I didn't follow his career, chapter and verse in San Antonio. Maybe he had a hotter week in shooting in his San Antonio career. But that gives them a dimension off the bench, that firepower that they may need. So
Dante we'll definitely hurts a ton, though. Dante's really good. That's a big loss for the Bucks.
All right. Well, there's still a lot of stuff going on in the NBA, but that's all we could get to tonight. It's getting on 3 a.m. Eastern. So thanks to Jackson, our producer, for staying up late and putting this together. Thanks for getting up early and listening. And McMahon, Bontemps, thanks for doing it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Adios, amigos.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.